Thanks, bro. So great to see you all this morning. You're going like, what in the world is going on here? We're in this big circle, and it's weird. But I'm here to remind us of a few things this morning. And first of all, you know, when's the last time you sang Jesus Loves Me? Has it been a while? Because I remember that as a kid, one of the first songs that I learned. And it reminds me that he loves me. And I can't believe this guy's here. It's freaking me out a little bit. Eric, L13, he actually encouraged me the first time I spoke on, was it Friday night church? And I don't know how many years ago that was. It's been a while, but it's kind of strange that now he's back to hear me again, and hopefully I'll be a little more comprehensive and literate. But Jesus loves me, and then amazing grace, because that's just how sweet the sound. And then touch the sky, because when my knees hit the ground, that's when we can start hearing him, seeing him, feeling him, because we humble ourselves. But I love the line that says, you traded heaven. Where is it? I can't find it now. But basically, he traded heaven to come to us and save us and be with us again. And it's amazing. So I'm going to be walking around in circles a little bit, because it will make sense, I promise, eventually. But because this is a reminder of early church, first and foremost. Early church met in homes, and so here's the weird thing. Jesus is crucified for us. He dies for us, and he comes back. He's resurrected on the third day, and one of the first things he tells all the disciples is, wait. Wait. You got to wait. And if I was one of the disciples during that time, I'd say, no, I want to go. I'm going to go. You're alive, and I'm going to go run around and tell everybody that you're back. But no, he says, wait, because you don't have the one that I promised to come and give you power. So they go up into a room, probably a lot smaller than this, and there's like 100 and something of them in there. They wait for a while. So that's one of the things that reminds us of. Then when they started after Pentecost, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and things change. You know, they're speaking all these different languages and telling everybody, and they're going like, oh, they must be drunk or smoking something. And they said, no, but we understand what you're saying. And then Peter gives his first sermon under the authority and power of Christ, and thousands are saved. And then church starts happening. And they start gathering in homes, small homes, and they're probably most likely in a circle, and they're probably not too many, you know, depending on the size of the home. When I was in Rome a few years ago, I hunted down the first supposed site of the first Christian church, house church in Rome. And now there's a Catholic church built on it, but there is a plaque and all that, you know, this was the supposedly first site of the first church, Christian church in Rome. And guess what you see outside the door down the street, probably 3 or 4 blocks? The Colosseum. And the Colosseum is where they took Christians for fun and fed them to lions and stuff. So you can imagine meeting at that church? Well, brother, we'll see you next week. Well, I don't know. It might be my time to go play with the lions. You know, so you think you're uncomfortable here sitting in a little circle? How would they feel? So we're going to get into some scripture, and I promise it will begin to make more and more sense as we go along. My prayer this whole time, and it's funny how this message has kind of come together. Even this morning in Sunday school, it's like, okay, Lord, yes. So here we go. Should we, and you know what one word that was happening a lot this morning? Was expectancy. Expectancy. How many times did we say that in Sunday school this morning? A lot. We even said it yesterday in accountability group. I can't remember, Steve, yep. We had a discussion about that, didn't we? And guess what? It's even written in the message today, but we'll get there. So here we go. All right. What did Pastor Nick speak on last week? I can remember that was a question I asked 2 weeks ago. Oh, boy. The ease of suffering. There we go, ease of suffering. And it's funny how God, in his sovereignty, can make things all line up, and he always does. And so we're going to first start in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. And you guys can follow along. You have it in your notes there. So we're going to read a lot. I'm going to make some comments, and I'm going to point out some words that are going to be repeated over and over again, and then we'll build together. And coming to him as to a living stone, him, Jesus, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him, Jesus, will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became a very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they also are appointed. So let's look at being built up, a living stone, spiritual house, holy priesthood. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:9 through 17. Let's back a couple chapters. It's after Romans. So 3:9 through 17. For we are God's fellow workers. We have to work. You are God's field, God's building. There's that word again. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know, church? Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, and for the temple of God is holy, and that is who you are. So again, there's like five messages just in that those scriptures we just read, but we're looking at, again, building a foundation, building on it. We must be careful how he builds. Christ is the foundation. Each man's work will become evident, revealed, and in this verse 15, if any man's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That one can cause us to go a little wacko for a little while, because that, to me, says that we can be saved and not do what is right and still be saved. But that's another message. Let's continue on. We're working on building something together here. So, and asking you that, what Pastor Nick spoke on last week, or even for the past time that you've been here, what are you building? What are you building on, and what are you building for, is some of the questions to ask yourself. Now we're going to jump into Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Starting at 18 to 22. For through him we are both have our access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in which the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So here we go again, cornerstone, Christ. And a cornerstone is that stone first laid before you build anything. First one set. So the guys building old structures of old, that's the first stone they laid, and everything followed. So again, the foundation that the apostles and prophets, this book, has built, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, the whole building, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Let's go to 4, Ephesians 4, a couple pages over, 11 through 16. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. There's work again. And building up, there's building again, of the body of Christ. Okay, now we're talking about the body of Christ. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature man, to the measure of stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. Time to put the big boy and big girl pants on, tossed here, there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. So again, being careful, but speaking truth in love, key. We are to grow up, again, there's that growing thing, in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Now we're talking about Christ as the head, body, head, temple, building, all these things are coming together, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. And it's not what we're smoking, it's the stuff that holds us together according to the proper working of each individual part. And who's each individual part? We are, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. A lot of stuff right there. So you're starting to get a picture. Here you go, verse 25. Here's key also. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. Tell the person beside you, I'm going to speak some truth to you right now. I'm going to speak some truth. And what does it say? What truth are we going to say? For we are members of who? Okay, one another, one body. We are members of each other. If we're members of each other, the body, the church, then who are you the body of? Christ. Let's go to 5:23. 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. So now we're looking at the similarity between the marriage of human beings and Christ and the church. Okay, we want to see that. He himself being the savior of the body. And I said, yeah, 23. Then let's go to 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be subject to the husbands. Now we see the church, we, the body, subject to Jesus because he is the head and the body. Let's go to 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her. And he's talking about the church. He's talking about his bride. Washing of water in the word, that he, Jesus, might present to himself, Jesus, the church, you, in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. You, us, your church. Let's go to 1:22-23, Ephesians, so back to the beginning. And he, Jesus, put all things in subjection, he, God, Father, put all things in subjection under his feet, Jesus, and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So now we see that Jesus, head, body, he is church. Your church. You're in him, he's in you. Let's go a little bit further. Colossians, that's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. To get a little better understanding. Colossians 1:15-18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, with thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things. Everything is happening now, right now in your life, right now in this government, right now in this world. It's all under him, by him, from him, through him. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hold together. So you might feel your life is falling apart, but he is holding you together. You might feel this body is falling apart, but he's holding it together to strengthen it, refine it, and make it his church, your church. He also is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it is the Father's good pleasure for the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself. Do you understand that he wants you? He desires you. He wants nothing more than to spend eternity with you, reconciling. And it's to the Father's good pleasure. The Father, this is what it's all about. I mean, this is why he sent his Son himself. Made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And then we're going to stop here for a second because we're missing something that I have to put in correct order. It'll just be a second here. See, I'm not the one that should be in the middle. It's this. The cross. See, we need a new perspective. Because if I'm sitting over here, I'm going to pick on you, Eric, because you haven't been here a while. So if you look over toward Jim Sabia, you see Jim, but what do you see in front of Jim? You see the cross. So I can't see any of you when I'm facing him, facing the cross. I cannot see you without seeing the cross, right? Now the world is going to press us. Now, do you want to be pressed toward your Savior? Or you want to be pressed toward yourself? So if I'm pressed and things are going bad, but I put him in between, I see him first. We're going to have conflict. You don't fully understand how much, and I didn't do my disclaimer statement in the beginning, sorry, you know, the emotional thing. I do get a little emotional, but just bring it back. You don't understand how much God has been affirming this, that he wants me to speak today. And I tell you this, and I please take it as a humble statement, that I feel a heavy weight for this church, his church. And I gladly carry it because it's for him. Here's the thing. I will speak today, and after 12 o'clock or 2, whenever we finish, I will that will be lifted, because I know what he is want said will be said. And this is where we're going to start getting a little bit more direct. We'll say that. And love. Because I can't tell you how much I love each of you in this place. My family's even here. Some of my brother, my dad, my stepmom, my niece. We're having our family reunion. And this is one thing. You know, they're my family, but most of them I don't see except once a year for a week. And my dad has instilled in us how important meeting is, even if it's for once a year. 21 years he's been putting a reunion together that we can all come together and be together, reconnect, love on each other. And we argue, we don't, you know, but we get along. And here's the thing, we don't argue a lot, and we will disagree on things, but we always come back and love each other. And here's the thing, just like in this class, Mingling of Souls, we talked today about conflict. And you don't understand, just going through this study and even Pastor Nick's messages on marriage, how it correlates to church. Okay, even today, expectancy, conflict. Okay, you put Christ in the middle. He lives inside of you. If you declared him and confessed him, the Holy Spirit's in here. If you put him in front of you and you have a conflict, they have to go through him and you have to go through him and you win. But if you get in front of him, okay, let's go. It's me. All right, I'm gonna spit. I'm gonna curse. Stuff will come out of my mouth that I cannot take back. Toothpaste, Bobby says, you know, teachers gave their students a tube of toothpaste, squeeze it all out. Okay, now put it back in. Same thing with our words. Great analogy. But you put him here. Okay, I'm supposed to have grace. He told me I'm following him. I'm not going to get in front of him. I'm going to follow him. One thing, love. Okay, he loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm supposed to love them, even though they might be throwing bombs at me. He says to love them, give them grace and mercy. I'm going to do that. We're going to have conflicts, church, in church, just like marriage, conflicts. But how do we resolve our conflict? We're going to have to confront the conflict, for one. We cannot push it aside, because then we go up and we hear and we start gossiping. Did you hear what Joe did? Joe! I can pick on him because he's my best friend. I can't believe that. Where we should go, hey bro, I heard this happened. Is it true? But keeping Jesus in front of me, because I'm not supposed to be accusing or being, I'm doing it in love because I love him and I love the church. I love Christ, the church, the body. I want it strong, and it's only strengthened because through conflict and you resolve conflict, you are stronger. You'll be stretched. If you think being it easy and fun is what Chandler said today, something to the effect of, who do you want to argue with the rest of your life? Because when you get married, you're going to have conflict. And I love that woman, Lisa, my wife. Make sure we point in the right direction. And, you know, we disagree, we argue, and we will argue for the rest of our lives. Church, I love all of you, and we're going to have arguments. We're going to have disagreements. But are we keeping him in the middle? Are we keeping him in the middle and first? First in all things. Because he holds it all together. And, you know, it's tough sometimes. It is tough. Because you know what? That means you're dying to yourself because you want to win in our flesh. Because when we get in front of him, I'm right, you're wrong, get over it. No, you're wrong because you think you're right. All right, we're going to go on because I want to connect a few more things. Revelation, last book of the Bible, 21, and it's the second to last chapter. You're afraid. You're not trusting in Jesus to hold it all together. Steve, have you not been listening? He holds it all together. He made it. He fashioned it. He put it all together. All right, here we go. 21. And this is John. So John is now prophesizing about end times of the end. The beginning. The end of this world, but the beginning of eternity, which is actually is kind of a silly statement because eternity already started. But here we go. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Capital L. Lamb is Jesus. Who's the bride? Church. It's funny, when Jesus comes out of the tomb, resurrected, first person he sees is a woman who thinks he's a gardener, which puts you back into Genesis, into the garden, which is where he was in the beginning. God created everybody, you know, the triune God. And he came out to meet his bride. He came out of the tomb. He had been waiting for all of eternity to meet his bride, us. Because there is no bride without his death and resurrection. There is none. One more, and we're going to talk a little bit more about a few things, and I'm running a little behind, that's all right. John 3, because John reemphasizes this before even Revelation, one of the Gospels. I love hearing the turning of pages with your electronic people. It's like, that's okay. I still love you. He who has the bride, starting at 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. And even though this doesn't have a capital B for bridegroom, he's still talking about Christ. But the friend, and John's the, and he's talking about John the Baptist, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. So if we think about that, even in church, coming to church, are you coming to decrease or are you coming to increase? And that's a question where, well, what do you mean by that? Well, are you coming to fill yourself up for your own pleasure? Or are you coming to fill yourself up to give it away so that our Lord can increase, so that His name will be proclaimed, that when you go beyond this place, because this is not what it's all about, just meeting in this place. It's about out there having these conversations. And another reason for this circle, before I go any further, this is what small group or community group looks like. Of course, you don't have 100 people. You have maybe 10, 12, 15, and you meet, because that's where church happens. That's where you grow. Because here, I'm the only one speaking. See, in early church, everybody had something to say. Community group, hopefully, everybody has a chance to speak. And you study, and you do life together. Here, you come. We come and worship, and we come as a group of community groups to worship and learn. But where life happens, because there's no one in this book that did it by themselves. Everybody was with somebody. And so, how many community group leaders do we have here right now? If you stand up just to be identified. So we got 3, 4. What's that? Ours in the back. Okay. So here, if you're not in a community group, now you see one of the leaders. Go talk to them. Get connected. All right, now we're going to get into reviewing a little bit, because I want to, again, really show how connected marriage and all the stuff of Christ's marriage at home. Because this is stuff from Pastor Nick. He's trying to mentor me, and he's doing a great job. I'm just failing. But his one message on April 19th was on Broken Together. Everybody remember that one? Remember the, here's the thing, Broken Together. We had that video, really cool video from Casting Crowns. So here's some statements that he made. Now, I'm just going to change one word, marriage and church, and see if it makes sense. Marriage is an institution that was ordained to be consistent through all time. Church was an institution that was ordained to be consistent all time. Here's a biblical view of marriage. It's a flawed person married to a flawed person in a fallen world, but of a faithful God. Here's a biblical view of church. It's a flawed people getting together with flawed people in a fallen world, but with a faithful God. The ultimate purpose of church is not human happiness. See, I already switched it. Yeah, but the ultimate purpose of marriage is not human happiness. We have to realize that marriage has a creator. So does church. He is church. He is the creator. It's not a human idea, but God's idea. God has a purpose for your relationships. If you look at what the Bible says about relationships, the ultimate purpose for marriage or church is not actually happiness, it's holiness. Marriage and church. And in seeking His grace, we continue to grow together to be what He created us to be. That is what marriage was meant to be. That's what church is meant to be. You belong to one another. Remember the verse? You belong to one another. And there's a bunch more that I'll skip because we're running out of time. But here's some questions, some hard questions. So if the church was just like you, everyone was just like you in your church, how would it look? How would your church look? How would attendance be? Once every quarter, month, or perfect attendance maybe. How about serving? How would that look? Would you constantly have too many volunteers? That happens here, right? Or do you not have enough? How about giving or tithing? How financially sound? Because if we don't understand now, we should be trying to get an understanding of where all of our stuff comes from. Because he wants a cheerful giver, and he's given it all to you. Or what does your ideal church look like? You know, because we all have what we think and what we do are sometimes not the same. What does it look like in your head? And if so, what do you act on that? And because you know what? Everybody wins. Some hard questions. Well, here's another one. Covenant or contract on the 26th. Marriage is not a contract. It's a covenant. What about church? Okay, I'm going to pick on you guys again. Who are members of CCF? You gone through? So pretty fair amount. Do you realize that you signed a covenant? Does everybody realize that? That you signed a covenant when you became a member of CCF? It's interesting because I forgot. I had to look it up. Wait a minute. Pastor Nick, yep, I signed it. It's on my core book and I went to dig. So here's one other thing I want to read from Matt Chandler. And before I forget too, covenant isn't, this is this morning in Sunday school, covenant isn't I'm going to give to get, but I'm going to give to give. That's this morning from our Sunday school. Here's another great one about conflict. Conflict is a part of life, and especially marriage. We can put church in there. The great goal is not to avoid all conflict, but to love each other and honor Christ in it. From this morning. But here's what Matt Chandler says, because we have to bring it back to the gospel. One of the things a married couple must be completely in tune with is God's love for us made manifest in sending Jesus to marry his bride, or marry the bride. His love has been an initiating love. His love has been a pursuing love. His love has been a romantic love. But his love also has been a missional love. And in that, it is commissioned by the Father. The marriage of Christ and his bride is a covenant predestined, designed, and inaugurated by the Father. It is a work of God. So I just wanted to remind us. And I lost my Bible. I just want to remind us what church is. And because you are. You are church. One last little story. So we're getting ready for our reunion, and we want to make our home comfortable, and you know, when you have guests, you want them to feel comfort and love and welcome, so Lisa and I, we worked hard on that, and one of the things we did, we bought a canopy for the back deck. So we go to Lowe's and pick it up, pretty big, 160 pounds, and load it on the truck. The box looks good. Take it home, so I'm unpacking it in the truck because it's heavy. It's like 160 pounds altogether, and I'm taking all the parts off, and I find in the bottom, there's a hole in the bottom of the box, and there's two mangled pieces. So we got to go back to Lowe's, and God loves to work on me for my patience through Lowe's and Home Depot. Just saying. Yeah. And here's the thing, too. I finally realized that and here is another thing that Dad sent me months ago. A card, a thank you card, and it said, you know, the things that are hardest in your life is what, basically I'm paraphrasing, the things that are hardest in your life over and over again is what God wants to work on you the most. So Home Depot, Lowe's, I think, I'm not there yet, I'm getting there. So we get the parts. It was, my wife calls them up because she knows I get very frustrated calls up the manager. He gets, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, they actually pulls the parts out of another box. I get up there. It was the best. I was like in and out. Awesome. So now we're putting it together, and it says the instructions are very vague. You know, okay, where's all of our stuff come from generally? China. Yeah. No, not in Chinese, but close to it. But what's awesome now is they give you these things where they label all the parts, because, you know, it used to be just a big bag of stuff, and separate them all out. But now they've, see, and I got extra parts, it's kind of scary, but this is from something else. So, the nice thing too is now they give you pictures and stuff, but sometimes the picture is not real clear. So I'm going to Lisa, okay, does this go this way? I'm looking, I read it like 10 times. This way, not sure, because it's very clear this person, how this went together, who made this. But, you know, I need some interpretation, okay? Guess what? Same thing in here. There's things in here I don't understand at all. And I need somebody to help me. And I would bet my life that you do too. And how are you going to find out these things unless you show up to community group, to Sunday school, to pray? Because it's revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit to you. But you have to show up. Just being real. And, you know, you can flounder around through life, getting by, but do you just want to get by? Or do you want to be significant for the kingdom, for the Father and the Son, for their glory? Or are you just working on your own glory? It's questions, hard questions. So we get it together, but now we got to put it, it says 3 to 5 people are suggested to put this thing together. And so it's Lisa and I. Well, first I got the kids. I got grandma out there. Everybody's holding something, you know. And we get the basic structure up. But now I get the part where we got to put the roof frame up. And the kids are no longer help, you know. Even Lily's tall, but she's not that tall. Excuse me. So I think, okay, you know, my methodical mind, I'm 0.0, okay, I think I can do this. And I have Lisa getting up on the ladder. She's got to hold something. And I say, okay, just let it go. See if it'll hold, because I got to go get another part and get up. And the roof isn't all together. So what's happening is it starts to, because it's not all, the parts are not all together. We're all a part. And if a part is not here, it starts to collapse. If a part is not put in, because it all fits together, but it all has to be there for it to be. And it says, you know, well, if it gets windy, take it all apart because it's going to blow away because it's made in China. But it's held up so far. But all the parts have to be there. All needs to be there. You all are needed for him, by him, for him, through him, to him. And we got 5 minutes. Now, so the easy thing about this, though, you don't need ushers because you just have the plate store here. You go. But we're going to take an offering. I'm going to pray for the offering. And maybe if you guys can sing one more or two more, if you want to worship, you want to pray, you want to. I'm here to pray. The elders are here to pray. Jim wanted to do a race with the elders around the circuit, but let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today, right now, that your truth can be revealed to us by your word, because it's all because of love. It's all because of your desire for us to have eternal life. You want no one to perish. You want all to come to you. You call, and the question is, do we answer? And I ask, I'm so thankful that you are persistent and that you have patience. And I ask your blessing on this place. I ask your blessing on the giving that will occur for your kingdom. Help the leadership of this church be good stewards just in that. We ask for your grace and mercy. We ask for you to fill this place so that your truth can be heard and that Jesus can be met. And I pray, God, that we will begin and to remember and understand of who we are in you, that we are your bride, being readied to be. We are being sanctified. We are being purified. If we come to you, if we come to that living water that gives us life, if we come to you with a repentant and open heart, please let not what is said today just fall to the ground, but let us take it with us and go as you tell us to go and make disciples, to go have conversations, to go love on people. We thank you, God, for your provision, and we look forward to what you're going to do next, because we always should have an expectancy of you blowing us away with your love, with your grace, and your understanding. But also, you are a righteous God, and we will all be held to an account. And let us have that in our mind. Let us put Jesus always in front of us, knowing that he lives in us, but in front of us in our conflicts. As we grow in this church, be strong, be unified, so that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.